Psalms 47 says, "Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome. A great king over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our king. Sing praises. For God is the king of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God is king over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For he shields the earth, and the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted." And it is he who we are gathered here today to worship, to sing praises to, and to exalt his name. Would you bow with me? Dear God, we thank you for being our God, for being mindful of us, even though we often forget you. God, I pray that as we worship here today, that it might be glory to you, that we might do so in a way that you will look down on us and see that we love you and that we want to be your people. God, go with us. Keep us in your care. Forgive us when we sin as we do so often. It's through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Hope you all are having a blessed morning. I know I am. I don't usually give out disclaimers, but I'm going to give a disclaimer. I went into work last night about 11 o'clock and got off at 8 o'clock this morning, so you're going to have to bear with me on a lot of what I'm saying and stuff. I'm a little shaky from all the coffee, but we're going to make this work. I want to start off by telling you guys a story, and everyone's thinking, here's another Tommy story, but this one has a purpose and a point, I guess, but I was 18 years old, working normal 40 to 50 hour week job, took 16 units of college courses, was in the middle of moving, in the middle of getting ready to be married, and I was working with a youth group up in Ojai with a Christian church up there, and so stuff was going good. I had a busy life, and I enjoyed my life and everything, and I still do, don't get me wrong on that one, but I was told by the youth minister that worked up there. He pulled me aside one day, and he said, "Hey, Tommy, I need you to meet someone." And I was like, "Okay, I'll go meet him." So takes me this guy. His name was Aaron Boydston. And Aaron Boydston, when I met him, sorry, this is a real touchy subject because he's a dear friend of mine, but Aaron Boydston had AML, which is acute myelogenous leukemia. I don't know, ask the doctor how to say it, but anyways, I meet this guy, and so I'm talking to him and just fellowshipping with him and kind of wondering, why am I supposed to meet this guy? What's the point? And he goes, "Well, why you're here, Tommy, is because I'm a youth minister at another church in Ojai, but since I've had leukemia, I've been down at UCLA. I can't work with the church. I need you. I'm asking you, can you run this church or the youth group interim while I'm out?" And so I said, "Yeah," my first thought was to say, "Yeah, no problem." Then I started thinking to myself, Tommy, you work a full-time job, you're going to school, you're moving, you're about to get married, you don't have time for this. You don't have time. And so this ongoing fight in my head started going on. Should I do it, yes or no? And finally, a miracle happened. God spoke to me and he said, "Tommy, go home and pray about it. Why don't you spend some time in prayer before you make a decision?" So I told both the guys, I said, "You know, look, I got to go home. I got to pray about this." And so I went home and I spent days and days praying about this. And finally, doors started opening. And then once doors started opening, Tommy started thinking and Tommy started saying, "Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not going to go do that. I don't know enough about the Bible. I'm not a good, you know, teacher. I'm not this, I'm not that." And these scribes started playing in my head, started making me think that I can't do it. Miracle number two. I said, okay, God, this is what you want me to do. I'm there. And I went out and the blessings just started pouring in on me. Miracle number three, passed all my school classes, which I don't know how I did that with everything else I did, but I did. I'm going to tell you miracle number four. Aaron's alive today. He's in remission. This guy, when he was diagnosed, they said, go home, talk to your family, tell them you love them, finish your bucket list, because you're not going to make it. And these are just modern day miracles. I know when you hear the word miracle, you think of feeding the 5,000, you think of healing the blind, you think of all these like almost supernatural events that happen in the Bible. But I'm here to tell you that when Jesus was crucified and the new covenant came in, miracles still happen. It's a miracle that I'm up here this morning. But anyways, I want to go to Exodus 3, verses 1 through 6. Here's another miracle I'm going to read publicly. It says this, Now Moses was tending his flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw and thought, the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over there and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had come over to look, God called to him from within the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. I don't blame him. I'd be scared. I want to flip forward now to Mark 12. Mark 12, verses 24 through 27. If you read the first part of this passage, the Sadducees are talking to Jesus, and they talk about the seven brothers who all married the wife, and none of them had kids. But I want to fast forward to verse 24. It says, Jesus replied, are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? When the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Now about the dead rising and the account of... Now about the dead rising, have you not read the book of Moses and the account of the bush? How God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Verse 27 is what I want to look at right now. This has been a very important scripture to me in my life. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken. We're here to talk about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit does modern-day miracles, how he's worked miracles in my life. I wish I had hours to sit here and break this story down that I just put into 2 minutes, because so many things happened. I couldn't count the miracles on my hands and toes. I am here today to say that we worship a loving and living God, a God that's within us. When I started working with that church, my Holy Spirit was dead. I didn't use him. It wasn't until I started realizing that I can't do this. I cannot live life without that Holy Spirit in my life. And he started flourishing in me, and I started doing things that I never would have thought of doing or thought that I could do. This Holy Spirit, I know a lot of times when we hear about it, we start thinking these weird supernatural thoughts, and we start thinking, oh, that was in the Bible, that was a story. But it's not this weird supernatural thing. The Holy Spirit is here and he's live in all of our lives. the invitation this morning is going to be a little bit different. Jim O is sitting down here, and this invitation is going to be an open invitation for all service. If at any point of the service you feel moved, you feel like the Holy Spirit's stirring with you, and you want to pray with someone, that's what Jim's here for. That's what any of us are here for. Anyone in this congregation would be more than happy to pray with you or whatever you need. And so with that, I hope you all have a blessed day, church, and I love you all.
I'm going to read the scriptures, Romans 8, 31 through 39, in reflection of the song, Our God. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will we not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charges against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is now the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger of sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. How many of you have felt the feeling of being lost in darkness? It's easy to get lost when you're bombarded with so many little things. You get physically, mentally, and emotionally crushed by the tide of the world. The glory of this world will always fail us. Eventually, our strength will wear thin. God's love extends to us so much. He gave his son. So when we are in our darkest place, we can look to him. Through his sacrifice, God proclaimed his love for us. Set over all our problems, God is above it all. God does not give up on us in those times of strife. We allow our petty problems to turn us away. Even when we have hit rock bottom, when the world leaves us kneeling before our personal pile of ash, God has given us something to remember. He's given us something to hope for, despite ourselves. He's given us something to strive for. Pick up your ash, and use them to turn yourself, to fortify your new being. Follow God's light. He has built a pyre of our failures. He is calling to you. Fear no demons, fear no death. And for that matter, don't fear life. Don't be turned away. Christ is waiting to intercede for you.
Communion. This is why we're here, isn't it? We're here to honor, we're here to praise, and we're here to give thanks for Jesus' sacrifice and his triumph. During the Last Supper, Jesus sat down with his disciples, who, like us, had been taught by, influenced by, and loved by Jesus. They were drawn to that table because they chose to follow Jesus, just like we have been drawn here this morning, because we have chosen to follow Jesus. During the meal, Jesus informed them that he would not be alive much longer, and he instructed the disciples to eat the bread that represented his body, and to eat it in remembrance of him. Next, he handed them the wine that represented his blood, and instructed them to drink it in remembrance of him. Do this in remembrance of me. Now I'm going to ask you some questions and give you some time to think about them. Why are we here? Why are you here? What does communion mean to you? Do you remember a sacrifice once the trays have been put away? Or will we not think about it until this time next Sunday? Let's go ahead and take these next moments to reflect on communion. We'll have a minute or so. Lord, thank you for sacrificing your body on the cross for us. And please help us as we eat this bread to remember that it was your love for us that helped you go up there. And Lord, please help us just to never forget what it meant. Amen. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for shedding your blood on the cross for us so that you may wash away our sins so that we can one day join you again. Amen. The money isn't a part of the communion. We do it at this time just out of convenience, but please give if you feel compelled to give, and please know that it will go towards the church. Lord, please help what is donated today to glorify you and to help you, and please help it to be used how you would want it, and please guide us with it. Amen.
I'll be reading in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not this from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
Morning, everybody. I'm going to start in Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Okay, well, the first thing when we started talking about our subject matter, which is kind of we wanted to go over the Holy Spirit. So my question has always been, what exactly is the Holy Spirit? I feel like a lot of times it's easy for us, we talk about God and Jesus a lot. It's easy for me to go, okay, God's up there somewhere watching me. Jesus is right here, okay? He's up with God, so we've talked about that a lot, but I feel like sometimes we really neglect the Holy Spirit, and what is the Holy Spirit? And it's kind of, to be honest, it's kind of uncomfortable when you start thinking about it, because it's easy for me at least, to think of God, okay, God's watching me, Jesus is here, but it's kind of, when you start getting into the Holy Spirit, I have the Holy Spirit inside me, it's easy for me to kind of reason, okay, I can put this little mind shield on and maybe God can't see what I'm thinking, but to have something inside you and be moving you, it's kind of scary to think about that. And I read once in this book, if you guys haven't read it, I highly recommend it. It's called Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And I feel like he takes a lot of concepts that are very strange or hard for me to understand, and makes them so I can understand them. So this is the best explanation of the Holy Spirit that I've personally read. It says, an ordinary, simple Christian kneels down to pray his prayers. He is trying to get into touch with God. But if he is a Christian, he knows what is prompting him to pray is also God. So that's the Holy Spirit. God, so to speak, inside him. But he also knows that all his real knowledge of God comes through Christ, the man who was God. that Christ is standing beside him, helping him to pray, praying for him. You see what is happening. God is the thing to which he is praying, the goal he is trying to reach. God is also the thing inside him which is pushing him on, the motive power. God is also the road or bridge along which he is being pushed to that goal, so that the whole threefold of life of the three personal being is actually going on in that ordinary little bedroom where an ordinary man is saying his prayers. He is being pulled into God by God while still remaining himself. And I feel like that clarifies a lot of things for me as far as exactly what is the Holy Spirit and what it's doing. When we were talking about what our subject matter was, the young adults met, and Zach kind of put it into words for us what our prompt was. He said, having confidence and expectations that through the Spirit, God works miracles and transformations in our everyday lives. And I thought that was really cool. And there's two words really that stand out to me that I feel like in that, miracles and transformations. The first one I kind of wanted to talk about was transformations and what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. First of all, I wanted to kind of make a movie reference. I can relate to movies a lot and when I talk. I feel like it makes it easier for you to understand. If you've seen the movie, it makes it real easy. For those of you that haven't seen the movie I'm referencing, I'll try and explain it as best I can. The movie I'm talking about is Inception. I hope a good handful of you have seen it, but otherwise I'll explain it. Long story short, these guys are trying to make somebody have a thought. They're trying to implant a thought into somebody and have them feel that it's their thought. For example, I'll give you a little example of Inception. Okay, so we're gonna have a little practice. Okay, don't think about a blue elephant. What did you all do just now? You thought of a blue elephant, right? Okay, that's kind of a crude form of Inception. Obviously, you know I'm the one who gave you that idea, but I made you think about it by what I said. So in the movie, they essentially go into this guy's dreams, and they're trying to go so many levels down that he thinks this idea is his own, and he doesn't know anything that's going on. So where I wanted to go with this is a lot of times the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, like the men in the movie, of course this is on a more subtle level, they nudge us in the right direction at the core of our being and try and push us towards the goal. So I'll give you a personal story in my life where I feel like this has kind of happened. Most of you guys know me. I've lived here my entire life. I've gone to this church my entire life, and you've seen and watched me grow. But I have a little bit of a confession. I don't feel like I really owned my faith until probably my junior year in college. I came to church all the time. I knew all the right things to say. I didn't get into too much trouble, but too much, keyword is the emphasis. But I'll confess to you that I don't really feel like God had a hold on my heart until my junior year in college. And it's kind of interesting how I feel like that came about, because I just remember one day at school, and mind you, I went to a Christian college too, 2 years at a Christian college, and I didn't really feel like God was moving, or God had a grip on me. But I still remember one day just thinking, I want to read the Bible end to end. And I don't know where that came from. Well, I do know where that came from, I'll tell you. But at the moment, I didn't know where that came from. And I just remember little bit by bit, I read my Bible, chapter or two at a time. And slowly, I started to feel like I knew where God wanted me to be and have a relationship with God. And that was so cool, such a cool experience. And so where I wanted to go with the Inception is, at that moment, I didn't know where that idea came from. I thought it was my idea. I almost hit the microphone. I thought that was my idea. Looking back now, I see that was the Holy Spirit moving me. That was the Holy Spirit nudging me from behind and saying, hey, read your Bible. Read your Bible. You should do this. And I mean, it wasn't an instantaneous transformation, but as I can come to you now and say, I'm a completely different person than I was my sophomore year in college. When I was a kid, when I came here, I feel like I have such a better relationship with Jesus now. and I'm thankful for that. So I wanted to go into a little bit more on transformations. I want to go to Galatians 5:16. It says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want, But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." And here's where it gets good. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." So if we have the Spirit in our lives, those fruits of the Spirit are going to grow. See, like I was talking earlier, it's not an instantaneous process. Fruit, you don't go, "Hey, I'm going to plant this lemon tree," and all of a sudden, boom, I have lemons. It's like, okay, we got to give it a little while, water it, fertilize it, and eventually those fruits will show themselves. With that, I want to move on to the second word that really stood out to me in our prompt was miracles. I wanted to move to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 6 through 8. "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" And that kind of talked, I wanted to talk about that it talks about having the Spirit is a spirit of power, not of timidity or being shy. It's a spirit of power. And Tommy talked about some of the miracles that he's witnessed in his life. And I'll tell you right now, this sermon is a miracle, not because I think it's awesome, but because yesterday at this time, I was trying to put the pieces together on what I wanted to say, and they were going like this. They weren't meshing. And if you want to hear the full story, come talk to me after church, and I'll tell you the whole story. It was awesome. The Spirit was definitely moving. I'll tell you that much. But kind of like what Tommy was talking about, it's not always nowadays. It's not always we expect these big miracles, feeding the 5,000. And I kind of started to think about just superpowers. That's kind of what came to me. And how come God doesn't do that so much anymore? Like, grant somebody power of healing, or I mean, why can't I have the power of flight? I mean, I think that would be awesome. But it's kind of like, okay, if Bryce had the power of flight, or if Bryce was the human torch, would I be using that to glorify God? That's the question. Am I in line with God? Is the Holy Spirit moving me to do that, or is that just me wanting to have awesome powers? And I think the answer is fairly obvious. If I was the human torch, I would probably not be using them for God's glory. I'd be like, "Hey, you want your bagel toasted? Psh, done." And it'd be because I wanted to be awesome. I'll just be quite honest. So it's probably good that I don't have that power. But I wanted to talk more along the lines of Tommy, and it's really cool that this all worked out like it did. But everybody here has powers. Maybe they're not human torch or flight or any of that stuff, but I have a few questions. Are you a kind person? Are you a good listener? I think that's a superpower. A helper? Are you a helper in a time of need? Have you said something and found out it was just what the other person needed to hear? In that moment, maybe they're struggling. Now here, or a better question, has that happened to you? Have you been struggling or at a point where you just were through? And then somebody came along and said something that was just what you needed to hear? I know a lot of times we think, oh, that must have been, that was that other person, but I want to change your mind. I think that's the Holy Spirit. I just want you guys to be looking as you go about your week this week. The Spirit is moving in the background all the time. It's not necessarily the big miracles like we're talking about. It's not necessarily the big miracles that we want to see. He's just moving in the background, giving us that little nudge. And that's all we really have for you today. I'm going to close this in a prayer. Dear Holy Spirit, just thank you for the power that you invest in us, nudging us in the right direction. We'd be so lost, and a lot of times we don't know what to do or what to say in some situations, but you give us the words, and you help us along, and it's just so awesome. We thank God, we thank Jesus, we thank the Holy Spirit for everything you've done for us, for the love and the grace that you've given us at the cross, that we can have an opportunity to know God and just know that love and that grace. I just ask that we can go about our week with you in mind, with your purpose, and that we can spread that love and know that we have the power of the Holy Spirit to spread that love and just let people know about you. Thank you, God. It's in your name I pray. Amen.